All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first installment of the Watchtower Podcast. My name is Noah Moyer, and I'm joined by my friend, Tom Cifonte.
Good to be here. Happy to be here.
This has been in the works for a while. Just kind of our own, you know, video game startup kind of thing we're doing, just to put our thoughts out there. It's going to be slow in the beginning. We're only using one Yeti mic right now because we couldn't figure out how the heck to get it to work with my MacBook, both of them. So we'll hopefully get that solved by next time.
Next time we'll have two computers.
Yeah. But yeah, we're just here to talk about our thoughts on the game industry, the things that surround it, the news, the games, what we're playing, all that kind of stuff, you know? And if you're here for along the ride, welcome.
So kind of speaking on that, let's just kind of get into the big part. I feel like get into the Game of the Year awards, and then we'll get into Battlefront 2.
Yeah, although these don't necessarily mean a whole
no
bunch.
Yeah, it's odd, like, because everybody does one, and depending on who you follow, really. Like, I remember when I was into Game Informer, like when I got that magazine, like, well, back when I was like the only thing I used to follow gaming through, their top 50 and who they gave the awards to, that was essentially my Game of the Year awards. It wasn't until like 2 years later I found out this existed.
Yeah,
but I think it's important to know, like, we were just talking about it, the amount of people and like the journalists that get it from over the industry, like, it's they get everyone.
Yeah,
they really do.
The amount of people that get involved in the Game of the Year for with the game awards we're talking about is pretty impressive. But it doesn't. It's kind of like the same thing as like the Oscars or the Golden Globes. It's just recognizing things that a lot of people think are good or have made an impact or something
like
that.
Yeah,
but it doesn't determine whether or not you can like that game. You know what I mean? Or if the game's like loved by the community. Because I know there's games on here that people love that. I mean, the games that are not on here that people love, kind of thing. But, like, the first category, I mean, obviously the Game of the Year, we got Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, PUBG, Persona 5, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Now,
Tom, which one would you pick out of these if you were the judge?
It's tough.
Because I know you don't have a Switch.
Here's why this is tough. Out of all the games, the one I've played like extensively is Persona 5, but I feel like the one it's not going to be is Persona 5. Persona, especially, that is probably the greatest JRPG I've played.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. It's incredible.
That's definitely what I heard. I'm not.
Oh, it's very on point.
I'm not into RPGs.
I know you're not.
RPGs
I know.
At all, but
I know,
like, I believe you, but like, I you're not the first person to tell me that. Like,
I guess
I definitely heard that.
In my mind, given on the game itself, given on the game design, what it's accomplished, my general love of the franchise, I'd have to say Super Mario Odyssey is the game I feel deserves it. But I also want to acknowledge that I feel that in terms of the three games they picked, that being PlayerUnknown, that being Super Mario Odyssey, and that being Legend of Zelda, I really feel if you had to pick, if any of those three won, I would not be.
Yeah.
I feel like those three really deserve it.
I totally feel
it. In terms of what they've accomplished in those games.
Because I remember playing at the beginning of this year, because I got the Switch on a release date.
Yeah.
And playing through The Legend of Zelda, that game, because I've always loved Legend of Zelda, but it's never made an impact on me like it has this game. I could not put it down. Like I remember the engaging the first guardian was just, I couldn't believe what I was doing. It was so cool. I suppose I can talk about it right now. It's like the elephant guardian.
Yeah,
skating around on the water, and you have to shoot the arrows. I think it's a shock arrows, and it's it was just such an awesome moment. Because more often than not, you don't hear a lot of music in the game. You just all hear small cues of piano or something like that. And there's a full fledged like orchestral movement while you're doing that. So like it made like a gigantic impact. And playing through Super Mario Odyssey, which I'm still doing because it's just so fun to play. And, like, it definitely
800 moon pieces? 800 of buzz, baby.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
on.
I got to get them all now. But I remember it definitely has one of the moments of the year for me because I know you haven't played it, but I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah,
because
I know.
It's definitely something I want people to experience, but it's in New Dog City. It has to do when you find a couple people, and it's a big musical number. It was fucking awesome, like, bottom line. I could not stop smiling.
I think what's important to recognize with all five of these games is none of these are really, like, all these games are games you could pour massive amount of hours into. Just like in terms of, like, Legend of Zelda, obviously, there's so much to do. Odyssey, there's so much to do. PlayerUnknown, you can just play for fucking hours.
PlayerUnknown's, I have not played a game more than I have played in a long time than this game, especially this year. I remember hopping on right on because, I mean, you know, I play a lot of Arma.
Yeah.
And, but the problem with it, and there was originally a mod called PlayerUnknown's Battle Royale in that game, where it was basically the same thing, but in Arma, it was just a mod. And I played a lot of that, but the problem was it just, Arma's a little slow. Like, there's so many keys you need to use and so many contextual actions you need to do to complete certain things that when he made this, like, out of his own engine and company – well, not own engine. It's Unreal. But through that, it made just everything so streamlined and fast. And now that they're adding all these different systems, including vaulting, that are going to come out
in
the full
release. In terms of game design, it's probably – because obviously Zelda's an institute is based off previous games, yeah. Mario's based off previous games, and you can even say PlayerUnknown for Arma, but in terms of game design, out of all the Game of the Year categories, is the one that deserves, I believe, the biggest applause. Because what it actually managed to do was create a whole new experience within an industry being competitive online shooters that I thought could never actually, I thought everything had been done. Like, I thought this point on, we were just going to see slight variations. And this is just as – I think it just shows in the game's popularity. It's just – it's new. It's something incredibly fresh. It's incredibly well done. That's incredibly exciting to play. And like you said, Arma isn't a fast-paced game. Yeah. This turns Arma into a fucking, like, balls to the wall, best of 100.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just – it's – and they keep, like, bullet physics and, like, you know, realistic, like, damage models for the body and...
Right, well, let me give Persona 5 its chance. Now, in Persona 5, you can have a very, very explicit, not legal relationship with your teacher. Now, I'm not saying it deserves Game of Year alone for that, but that's some heavy shit. It's, obviously Persona's always been
You're committing a crime of love.
You're committing a crime of love. But Persona's always been a bit of a wacky game, but it's always managed to do is be an incredibly immersive JRPG experience in terms of the world you get to be in and the things you're allowed to do just in it and the amount of hours of gameplay there is to play. I do think it's the best Persona game, which I know isn't like – it gets argued, but it really
– That's what I genuinely hear that too.
I had been playing – my JRPG I had been playing – before it came out was Digimon Cyber Sleuth, and it was just – I was just playing that because it was very Pokemon-esque. There was a lot to just go back and like keep getting new ones. But then this game came out, and I don't even know if I want to touch Digimon. It's just – it's so much leaps and better. It's the best – like, if you're even remotely thinking about ever playing a JRPG, I would honestly recommend this is the one. This is the one to go to.
I have thought about it. I might hit it sometime, but probably not this year just because there's so many games.
What's Dark Horizon, though? Because you've played it. I haven't.
The thing that I think about with this game and why I think it definitely deserves to be here is because it's made by Guerrilla Games. They went from making
– Killzone?
Killzone, a first-person shooter to a third-person open-world robot dinosaur. It's unbelievable that it was this good of a game. And the DLC I've heard, I haven't heard it, played it yet, but it's called The Frozen Wilds.
Oh, I heard it's definitely and I heard worth it's the pickup.
Awesome. And the fact that they made such a huge shift and it was that good is unbelievable to me.
But do you feel... Obviously, you haven't played Persona 5, but even knowing what you know of Persona 5 and my own recommendation, and you and obviously our experiences with these other three games, does it seem like an outlier to you?
It's I think the outlier in this category is actually PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for me. Just because – well, but the big argument kind of surrounding it is that it's not finished since technically on 1.0.
Who the fuck gives a shit?
It doesn't matter because in a year where – to pretty much say what Jeff Gerstmann said on Twitter the other day was 1.0 has never meant less now because like you think about Call of Duty – has had the worst server problems in 5 years that it's ever had.
Yeah.
And Battlefront's currency system has been being changed literally on a whim by its company, and now the...
We will get to that. We'll get to that.
But, like, all these things that are coming out, either unfinished, broken, it's like... It doesn't really mean a whole lot. It's kind of like... Like, for me, I would choose PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds because, for me, it's... Every time it's different. Every time my adrenaline gets cranked up to 11 and all my friends, like when I'm playing with a squad, it's like hilarious because you can be dumbasses the whole
time. What I will say, the difference between PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and the difference between like a game like Call of Duty or a game like Battlefront, those are AAA titles with mass amounts of money being poured into them. They should come out finished. That's they have legit publishers that get companies like EA. These companies are freaking traded on like the stock exchange. There's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be quality fucking checking this stuff. When PlayerUnknown is released, he's telling you, hey, this game isn't done. Yeah. Go play this game now. I want you guys to play this game. And guess what happened? It was so fucking good that unfinished, it deserves to be game of the
year. Have any? Like, I think what would it break? 2 million concurrent players was like the highest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's killing it.
It was the highest, like, played game on Steam ever. Like, concurrent. It was unbelievable the amount of people. Like, think
how many people are playing it now?
That's a great question, but.
Yeah, but.
Why don't you do some filler?
I'll do some filler. PlayerUnknown for me, especially, like, it's just. For people to even argue that the game not being... It's like the same thing I felt happened with Minecraft. When that blew up, people were just like, ah, it's not out yet. Like, could it be Game of the Year? Of course it's Game of the Year. If you can fucking play it and it's blowing your damn mind, of course it's Game of the Year. It doesn't matter if it's unfinished. Eventually, we officially release and you can buy it on disc. Woo. Like, official releases mean way less than they ever have, period, in this industry. Ever since 2010, the idea of an official release is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dead concept. There's just the moment the game's available and the moment the game's actually damn playable. Yeah.
Looking at this, we're using Steam charts right now, and just looking at it,
the 24
it's mind-boggling.
It peaked. It had its peak.
Its 24-hour peak was 2,765,023 players. But that was within the past 24 hours. And the all-time peak is 2,765,023 players.
So no one's been playing it ever more than they have today.
It's ridiculous. And it just – the thing is it just keeps going up. Like you think about the ambition of a game where like, oh, to start a match you need to have 100 players. And you just find a game like that. It's unbelievable. It's like – oh, my
and
God.
And just to think too like – and we're like – and it's like how can this grow? Like when this hits consoles finally too. When it's on PS4, when it's on Xbox. Like I'm not going
to – I'm not sure it's coming to PS4, but it's
–
it's
damn.
Because, well, it's scheduled right now. I think – unless it changed, it was scheduled to come out December 12th, I think.
For Xbox?
For Xbox,
yeah. I knew that. I know you can play it in game preview, I think, right now.
Right now, really?
It might be. I think it's
coming out on game preview December 12th.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a bummer that – I don't want to say that sucks for any Sony console players. That's a real piece of shit. That's a real dumb move.
It's
but.
Like
this, but just to tell you right there, like the moment this hits Xbox, like I feel it's gonna. Like I personally, like I don't play a lot of PC gaming. You know this. I try to stay stick to console.
Yeah.
But the moment that hits, like I'm like I know I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm probably gonna buy it again.
Like it's just I feel like that like that's another market. Like even though what kind of consoles represent now is I feel more of like. The home, more family market.
Yeah, definitely.
And even
like,
people who don't want to maybe buy expensive computers but just want like the all-in-one entertainment system that consoles have become. Yeah. That market is still huge.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's I feel when this hits that too, we're going to see like...
That's why the Xbox One X is selling so well right now. A lot better than the PS4 Pro sold on launch.
It's impressive.
I think that has a lot to do with them knowing how to deliver a message of what the console is. Because when the PS4 came out, like... What even is this?
It felt like it just came out.
Yeah, it did. There was no popping circumstance. It was just like there.
And the X, too, it's – we can speak on the X later. But to speak on Battlegrounds again, I feel when this game hits consoles, we're going to – there's going to be – the big argument is going to be, is it beating Destiny? Is it beating Call of Duty? Is it beating Battlefield? And I think the answer is going to be yes. It's going to beat it, and it's going to be
by
handily.
Miles, yes.
Because this game, if I'm not mistaken, is like $20 on
$30.
Xbox.
It's $30. $30? And it's – yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
we're
premier multiplayer.
Out in surprise of like – how – because, like, think about how accessible this game is. $30, it's very cut and dry. You go in with 100 people. You need to survive and loot. You could win. And
it's not a hard game to
wrap
yourself.
No, it's not.
And it's not like it's –
it's not a bunch of progression. It's literally – this is what you do, survive.
It's I call it the crazy taxi feel. You don't got to do too much if the gameplay you have is like fucking meth. Like if it can just hook you because
dude,
you just want to keep going. And
I think about this
game. You just
game,
keep getting
you know?
Progressively better. And in the beginning, it's not like you're doing anything inherently different. You're still just trying to survive doing this. The difference is you pick up on the subtle things you need to do to win. And then
think
you
about,
slowly just – it's there's skill.
Yeah.
It does everything
just
amazing
think about
video
the
game
amount
does.
Like of variation you have with 100 people in a game.
Yeah, I totally
it's
agree.
It's different every single time. No matter – even if you go to the same place, it's different. And like even last night, I remember I was playing a game and it was – I came down. It was me and this two other people in this small circle that enclosed. My heart just goes for miles. Like, it's like I can feel my adrenaline. No other game does that for me. And my adrenaline is just going. I see a guy stand up. I pop him. I see the other guy stand up. I dive down. Unfortunately, he threw a nade, hit me in the face, and I died. But, you know, even then, second place, it's like...
I feel like what it does better than, especially Call of Duty, especially Battlefront, and especially Battlefield as well, it's like, eventually you just kind of start going through the motions.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I know what I'm doing here. Like, yeah. Death doesn't mean a thing to you. You're just like working on KD, trying to get replenished, trying to get this, whatever.
Yeah, you just kind of mindlessly play.
You're mindlessly, exactly.
I'm engaged Battleground, the whole fucking time.
If you're not engaged, you lose.
Yeah.
There's no nothing really left to do than win.
Sometimes, because like when I play with like three other people, like I'll play with like... the guys that play with on PC.
Yeah.
And it'd just be complete, just fucking, we're just stupid for no reason. We're literally intentionally driving cars up cliffs to go over buildings and shit.
But you can do that.
But we still win somehow? Yeah. That's why it's so fun. We just do the stupidest shit and somehow win, you know?
I love the team gameplay,
too. It's
really
cool. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Like, Tom F.
Yeah.
He just built a PC that he paid $1,200 for. One of the main reasons was so he could play PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Well, when he worked at Best Buy, he's like three quarters of the time people came in to buy a PC because they wanted to play Battlegrounds. It's like,
makes perfect sense.
And this game mode is going to be the new Zombies mode.
Oh, I totally agree.
You already see it in Fortnite because Fortnite stole it, and another game's like using it. It's just gonna be. It keeps going. I mean, Grand Theft Auto is using it. What's that other game? I can't remember. But like, it's really like every game is kind of latching onto this because it's such a huge thing.
I didn't even think about the zombies comparison, but you're so right. Like that wave system of fighting zombies, and even just that, like the actual, like you don't even have to print. Copy it, but like the game's just that naturally like enclose you in on a map.
Yeah,
like that idea, like really Battlegrounds. I feel not that they're the originators of it, mm-hmm. but they did it in such a way that they showed like how it could really like change the tempo of entire competitive multiplayer.
Definitely.
And I immediately think about when Zombies came out and stuff. Like, think about how many games. Like,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, yeah,
so many games copy. Like Gears of War had the Horde system.
Yeah. Definitely. Like it was the kind of wave based survival. Was the staple point of this industry for like 10 years plus.
I feel like it was beyond the standard competitive deathmatch and capture the flag. It was the new exciting game mode that finally became realized, especially in World at War. Yeah, World at War
was the first one to do it, where they were like, here's these just... thing you play right after the credits.
Yeah,
here's just people like, holy fuck, this is amazing. I wanted to do more of this, and they made more content. It became like the biggest thing in the industry.
People would buy those games. I seriously
bought. I rebought Call of Duty Black Ops. Was it 3 or was it 2? To play they remade all of the Nazi zombie maps.
I feel like that was straight. That was 3. Yeah.
I bought it specifically to play those. And I remember back in like middle school and early high school, just it just was so much fun.
It dominated our early gaming
lives.
It did.
It really did.
Was. It was a pinnacle. But that just speaks volumes too on how huge Call of Duty I think was at the time. Even though it still sells millions of copies,
It doesn't have the same impact as it once did.
It was the number one. Like
hey, everybody's getting this because we know we're gonna have a lot of fun with it. Now it's like
from Modern Warfare to like. I want to see Modern Warfare 3, honestly, because after Modern Warfare 3, I think they started to lose people by year.
Think about Ghosts, and you're like,
exactly.
Oh, man.
You forget.
That was rough.
Sometimes I wipe Ghosts from my memory,
exactly.
And I just go from like, oh, Black Ops 2 came out, that Advanced Warfare.
Yeah. It's like...
Ghost was a thing.
It was a thing.
All right, let's get into more of these. So, best game direction. I'm looking at Wolfenstein 2. I'm looking at Resident Evil 7. I'm looking at Zelda. I'm looking at Odyssey. I'm looking at Zero Dawn. I feel like Odyssey has to win this.
Really?
Not in terms of these other games.
This is a lot harder than Game of the Year for me.
Yeah, okay. Category. I feel that.
Yeah.
Especially Wolfenstein 2. Obviously, you've played it. You can speak greater volumes on it.
I'm thinking about game direction.
I will be playing it after Black Friday.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah. Seriously. Man, it's so hard to make a decision between any of these because Wolfenstein 2, like, I think about, like, there's some minor, like, hiccups in that game with the gameplay where you kind of get stuck on geometry, or it's just so punishingly hard that you can't, you know, do something and you just die repeatedly. But the writing and the characters and the things that happen in that game are, like, moments of, like, the entire generation for me.
That's
why
I feel it deserves story direction. Yeah. But in terms of actual – it's game direction is their specific word. Yeah. Is, right?
Like,
in terms of development, in terms of, like, actual ideas put into the game conceptually that was fully realized within it, Odyssey is a fucking juggernaut of brilliance.
It's either Legend of Zelda or Super Mario.
And that's the
because,
thing.
Like, I think about the game direction for Legend of Zelda and how – it was literally, you can do fucking anything.
What I loved about Zelda was it created this seamless, amazing, beautiful open world.
Yeah.
And that perfectly encaptured the Zelda experiences of old. The thing about Odyssey's so good, I feel like it just, like that, I just, because I feel like people can go back from Breath of the Wild and go to Ocarina of Time and they can argue which one's better.
Yeah.
Odyssey is one of those games where it just like,
if, like it's definitive.
It fucking seemed like Nintendo just blew it out of the water. Yeah. Like, and even Galaxy, I didn't even feel that way about. Like, Galaxy I thought was incredible, but I didn't think, like, it made Mario 64 feel obsolete in a sense, because the game design of it was still somewhat following it. Yeah. Odyssey is the first one that's come out since, I believe, 64, that now every Mario game has to follow a precedent of it.
Absolutely. Nintendo's
and that alone. And this year, is Mario, too. This isn't, like, some game where, like, it needed to be fixed, it needed to be changed. This was a game franchise that, like, 64, Sunshine, Galaxy 1, Galaxy 2, even 3D World, which I don't even think is...
I want to go so far with Sunshine, but we'll...
3D World on the 3DS, specifically.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the greatest handheld Mario game ever, in my
Absolutely.
Opinion. Those specific ones, especially the 3D platformers, they were all just incredible. But now Odyssey just makes it seem like it's a whole new level.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just has to.
Yeah. But I think like every game on the
category deserves, even Biohazard deserves a lot of credit for what it did for Resident Evil.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I didn't play it, but I watched full playthroughs of that game.
It only takes like 7-8 hours to play. Yeah. I watched Demetrius Johnson play it.
I can't play horror games.
Play Resident Evil 7 with me. We can do it.
Yeah, only certain horror games I can do.
I can do horror games. We'll play them together. We'll play Outlast 2.
Outlast 2 isn't good, though. Let's play a good horror
game. Yeah, I heard that. That's a bummer.
But yeah, like... Horizon Zero Dawn also deserves to be in this.
Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn
deserves that they've done with
a lot
game.
Of credit. What's it to the next one? Let's get through these.
Yeah.
So we can get
best narrative.
Best narrative. Like, I'm looking at What Remains of Edith Finch. That amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It was one of the very few games I played on PC this whole year.
What I think...
Did you play Nier Automata?
I haven't, but I've watched a lot of it. And it's an insane game.
Let's just say you fight the CEO at
the end of the game.
Of the development?
Of Capcom or Square Enix. You fight a literal platinum games version of the CEO of Square Enix at the end of the game. And it's there's just balls off the wall things in that game that are – like I think you would love this game.
Platinum Games as a development company is the ultimate hit and miss kings of the world.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, they'll release these amazing action games and then they'll be like, we're making a Legend of Korra game. And then that will come out and it'll be hot fucking garbage. And it's like, what are you doing here?
Exactly, yeah.
But Platinum, they're definitely, in my opinion, that Devil May Cry kind of action-adventure game. They're the kings of it.
Absolutely.
The best. Ninja Theory, definitely. I've seen it. I haven't played Hellblade. I don't think you've played Hellblade either.
I haven't, but I would like to because it's not expensive.
Yes.
And apparently, like, the whole – the gameplay is okay, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of story that they deliver –
that's what I hear, too.
It's such a huge narrative on mental health, and it's crazy. It's like it really surprised everybody.
That's what I think all of these five games here, maybe not so much Horizon Zero Dawn because I feel like maybe that's a bit more of a by the book kind of video game story. But all these other
towards
games
towards the
here,
end, it's not.
Oh,
I would say, it's.
But I'm looking at all these games, and like, you see the crazy kind of self-reference meta in Nier Automata.
Yeah,
you see like the kind of heart-wrenching fucking like obviously What Remains of Edith Finch. Games like that have been getting released in the medium, but I feel like they're really starting to become like.
I agree.
Way more fleshed out experiences.
Exactly.
Hellblade, like you said on the mental health, New Colossus, just kind of talking about the idea of like racism and like even beyond that, so, like
the like I remember listening to Waypoint podcast that is run by Austin Walker,
yeah.
formerly Giant Bomb, and he I remember saying like brought up a point was like you, it's like it's are you saying that if the Nazis took over America a lot of people would just turn a blind eye and just be completely fine with it? Yeah, like,
yeah.
Like seeing that in that game. And seeing, like, the people, like, the KKK and Nazis mm-hmm. and
yeah.
other things in Iraq and seeing how truly evil these things are and how – and just how – I don't even think they meant to time it, that shit's going on in the real world.
I'm like, I'm getting all chills just thinking about this
I know.
Kind of stuff. Like, it's themes – that's why I feel Wolfenstein 2 should win.
For me, this is why Wolfenstein 2 wins, because the one the character writing is perfect. The writing in the game is amazing, and the moments that it delivers is just like I want everyone to play this game because it's that good.
That's the deal. Like my whole experience is for a long time I felt video games trying to emulate movies
yeah.
and trying to deliver on those. Like I think Call of Duty campaigns are a good example of that.
Yes.
They were trying to emulate
yeah.
the action of movies. And now I feel video games are trying to like understand how they do storytelling differently.
Yeah.
And now they're making experiences that are actually based in that. And like, and what I kind of mean by that is more that there's kind of a formal realization on what you can do in the medium, how you can make the medium more impactful, and the
yeah.
kind of story you can tell, I feel goes beyond.
Absolutely.
And a movie, a fucking 2-hour movie, like way
yeah.
beyond.
I,
and that's why I
you
feel.
Should, you yourself are experiencing it. And you're, and especially
exactly.
in a game with any kind of choice. Oh, I mean, I wish I could tell you something about
what's into the next category. Let's
yeah,
get
but
moving.
Like because of that, that you are actually impacting what you're doing,
yeah,
directly or indirectly, it makes such a huge impact in the person that's playing that game. Versus,
I've always thought choice
yeah,
is a great
yeah.
storytelling.
Yeah,
design. Okay. Best, best art direction. I look at this. I see Persona. I see Zelda. I see Zero Dawn. I see Destiny 2. Only one game deserves this win. It's Cuphead.
Yeah, it is.
Come Cuphead. On, like yeah. you can. Like, we can just go to the next one. Honestly,
although Horizon Zero Dawn and. Like,
I think all these
two,
games have
yeah,
very solid
yeah.
art designs.
I really like the aesthetic of Persona 5.
Persona 5 has a beautiful
yeah,
aesthetic.
Yeah.
You have to understand,
but
though. Cuphead.
All hand animated, everything, and playing that game and just believing that it was from that era, it's, like, unbelievable.
It's,
like, it's fin. And the music's awesome, too.
That's not even, like, just even, like, if you just disassociate the gameplay, disassociate everything else, and just
yeah.
look at it for its art direction, like, come on. You
exactly.
just can't.
Like,
just,
it's something you, like, would show your parents, and they'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
It's impressive.
Like, yeah. It's like the kind of thing you take out during the holidays. And you're like, hey, look at this, Grandpa. You know what I mean? It's like...
oh, look at you. Look at this shit, old man.
Like, yeah, I remember. I, like, kind
oh,
of just
go to,
reminding me.
What's
but,
the
like,
score on music, though? Because I'm looking at this category. This seems like another heavy fucking
yeah.
hitter.
So, was real quick, before like we go into that, I just remembered... Remember I had the Vive last year?
Yeah.
Before I returned it?
Yeah. Tells you everything
okay,
we think of
it,
VR right there.
That, yeah, well, or everything you need to know about my buying habits is constantly buying and returning things that I can't afford.
I love your buying habits,
yeah.
dude. Don't sweat it. It's how, it's how I know not to touch VR.
Yeah. But I got my 88-year-old grandfather to put on the Vive and be a Jedi.
Grandfather Moyer.
It was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. I still have a video.
That's nice.
It was, he was like, his mind was just blown on the back of his fucking head of what he was doing. It was crazy.
Damn. Okay, what's...
But let's move on to music.
Because I'm looking at this music, and this is a toughie. Because
this is a toughie.
Even though we were just kind of discarding Destiny 2 in every other category, Destiny's got some...
It's got some good music.
Some good music. Cuphead... Has some amazing music. Nier Automata, I've heard it. And actually, believe it or not, in fucking Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, you can listen to it.
Are
in,
you serious?
In the car, yeah.
That's
in the car,
amazing.
You can buy, like, CDs of, like, Final Fantasy games and stuff.
Wow.
And you can get Nier Automata soundtracks and listen to it as you, like, drive through. It's honestly, just skip it. You want fast travel, but...
yeah.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has incredible music.
It
Persona
does.
Persona 5 has incredible music. But Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's that's I don't want to just give it.
Well, it's, I'm thinking about the moment of the year. One of the moments of the year for me was in that game, and it was completely based around music.
That's
and,
the thing.
I think about also there's a soundtrack for one of the zones that is like a surf guitar kind of thing.
But before you go off, I just
yeah.
want to say one thing. That's the thing about this though. I feel like out of all these games, which game just gets even more tremendously better, already being tremendously amazing because of the music?
Yeah.
I feel it's Odyssey. I
yeah.
feel it used its music so brilliantly.
I think if I had to pick top three. It be 1 Odyssey, 2 Legend of Zelda, 3 Cuphead. That would be me.
I would totally go with that. Yeah. I couldn't disagree. Yeah. Even though Persona 5, yeah. Destiny 2, and Nier Automata, yeah, they're all very incredible soundtracks.
Audio design now. For me,
I'm surprised not a, besides Destiny 2, it's very surprising there's not other shooters in here.
Yeah. And well, I would definitely think, oh man,
you think if Battlefront 2 was out, it would get a nod?
Yes.
I feel like that's always the strongest thing about those games. I feel like that's a bit of a bummer. It's not here.
But like, you think about how perfectly they make every sound in that game. Because something I'm very big proponent of is audio design, whether it be in music or games.
Oh yeah,
I fucking love it.
When Battlefront 1 came out, I remember talking to you about it because I wasn't gonna get it because I just heard too much. Kind of negative, and I heard too much people like you because this one came out, and when it first came out, I totally get when that kind of experience comes out and you're not sick of it, loving it to death because of Star Wars. It's fun.
I'm such a huge fan.
And the way it looks, but the audio design, you're like, this game is worth getting just to fucking hear how amazing it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and that's why I'm a little bummed by this category that they just didn't wait for Battlefront. I get that the show happens in December, but I feel like these announcements,
Well, you think there's a game later on this January. Yeah, there's a game later on this list that actually came out, I think, last year. Because it came out
if I'm not mistaken,
I think Final Fantasy 15's on one of these lists.
Nier Automata came out.
No, I think Nier Automata came out this year.
I thought it came out December or January. I know it came out early. Let's look this up.
When did
just look up Nier Automata, it'd be surprising if Final Fantasy got on there for anything. Came out in February.
2017.
It came out early though. Yeah, I do remember that. But it'd be surprising if Final Fantasy 15 was on here. Because it did come out in December. Right. It wouldn't make perfect sense. I thought the game was great. Like, it wasn't like the greatest one in the franchise, but I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was a great. Scratch that. Persona 5 isn't the best JRPG to start with. The best JRPG to start with is probably Final Fantasy 15.
Really?
It's much more accessible to, I feel, Western market.
Really?
It's the moment you start the game, the first thing it says is, this is a Final Fantasy game for experienced and new players. Do you like Kingdom Hearts?
Kinda.
You might like that. All right, that's not the best sign.
Yeah, no, it's not I was hoping for a different answer.
I was hoping you were going to be like, I love Mickey Mouse.
I like what it does, but like, I think about, I was watching Ben Pack and Jeff Gerson play through it on their series on the site.
Yeah. Were they not impressed? Gerson not impressed?
No, I could see it already. Basically, he's like, the screen, he sees, I think it's Sephiroth, and the screen goes black, and then it comes back, and he has a keyblade, and he just goes, keyblade. He's like, Jeff's like, what? How do you get a keyblade? Where did that come from?
Yeah, continuity is not the best. Those games are a bit all over the place sometimes. It's like, I'm a fan and I barely understand it. Like, and I've played like PSP, DS, 3DS titles, and it's just like, what the fuck is going down sometimes? I will admit, when you keep it numbered, when you go from 1 to 2 to 3, it's not that hard.
No.
It's when you start adding expanded lore, you're like,
yeah. Definitely the, for audio design, like, I think, like, I remember lit, because I watched the playthrough on Resident Evil 7 in headphones.
That's got some, like, oh, it's got amazing audio design. It's
like,
especially
these three
for a horror
here,
game.
Zelda, Mario, and Biohazard.
I would think Biohazard's strong frontrunner.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but then I think about, like, all the little cues I have in Zelda.
You're right. Zelda does do those.
It delivers them perfectly.
Just opening a door is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's those two.
Yeah.
What's in the next category?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be...
Best performance.
Okay. Melina Trigens, Hellblade.
So we got Hellblade, we got Uncharted Lost Legacy for Nadine, Uncharted Lost Legacy for Chloe, we got Wolfenstein 2 BJ, and we got Ashley Birch for Alloy. And if I'm going to be honest here, I'm going to go with Ashley Birch. Her performance was so convincing and so genuine. And especially since, like I think about, like, there's a specific scene that comes to mind where she, the character Alloy in the game, is often encountered by like macho tribalsmen, tribesmen, stuff like that, and they think they're like so impressive to her or something like, and she's like, nah, dude, and then just brushes them off, and she's like, I'm a lot more badass than you could ever be, kind of thing, and I play, like, I like to play those kinds of games with my little sister. Like, we play through Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's pretty awesome to see this kind of category so female-dominated.
Exactly, because this is protagonists. I agree, yeah.
These are characters. Yeah. Like, that's always been something, a big criticism in the game industry that I feel is very real. It's very male-dominated in terms of what they kind of target audiences, especially with characters.
Yeah, and I never understood that till recently.
Yeah,
but,
obviously.
But, like, in playing with my little sister, I see how it's so important to her when she gets to play as a female, like, protagonist.
Yeah, because if we are involved, like, we were just talking about that earlier, there's far more investment involved in video games. But I will have to say one thing. I have heard far too much about Melina Jurgens performance in Hellblade for me to think she isn't going to win this.
No, I would not be surprised. Her performance is unbelievable.
I hear
too.
It's a
like, I watched, like, just watching course. Just even just minimal amounts of gameplay and cutscenes in that game, it's unbelievable. But, like, if I had a tie, like, this is an amazing, like, all amazing actors in this.
Yeah, Laura Bailey and Claudia Black, like, they killed him. Yeah,
even BJ, you know, I mean, Brian
Bloom, baby.
He was very, like, they're all very good, but, like, if I had to say one of, I think either Melina Jurgens or Ashley Birch is going to win this category, if I had to guess.
I think those are strong guesses for sure.
Yeah, because, but, like,
games for impact. Okay, let me leave the description of this, pretty please.
Yeah.
For a thought-provoking game with a profound pro-social meaning or message. Where the fuck is Wolfenstein 2? This is fucking ridiculous. That said, I have not played Bury Me My Love. Looks intense.
I hear Night. If I had to guess, it's going to be either Night in the Woods or it's Hellblade.
I think you're right. I also think What Remains of Edith Finch deserves a bit of some love.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Hellblade's going to win this.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. I'm dumbfounded Wolfenstein 2 is in there.
Yeah, best ongoing game.
Okay, here's my deal with this. This either has to go, I feel, to a player unknown.
Well, that's I mean,
or we Overwatch can, is going to nab another one, baby.
We got Warframe, Rainbow Six Siege, Overwatch, Grand Theft Auto Online, Destiny 2, and player unknown.
I think besides Destiny 2, I think these are great choices.
Besides Destiny 2, because they have not added.
There's been nothing.
Shit.
That game just came out. Like, best ongoing, like.
Doesn't make any that
it makes
sense.
No sense. Yeah. It just feels like they gave it another nomination. Like, good for Warframe. Good for Six Siege, because I fear that community.
The release wasn't good. I'm still playing it now.
Yeah,
because I love it.
The developers have not. They've given up.
Ubisoft has become very good in recent, the kind of history of making games that are actually good. You know what I mean? You think about Origins that just came out, and that game apparently is amazing past the first 2 hours. But, like, Rainbow Six Siege, they've added so much and made it so good. And, you know, like, when Watch Dogs 2 came out, not a lot of people played it because how bad the reception was for the first one.
Yeah.
But Watch Dogs 2 is really good. But that being said, being up against, like, Overwatch and
even Grand Theft Auto Online.
Even PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, the amount of changes.
Yeah.
In additions they made to that game, this is a hard category.
Let's talk about GTA, though.
Yeah.
The one thing I wasn't expecting when GTA 5 to come out was that GTA was going to be their main focus in terms of going forward. I thought DLCs might come out. I thought expansion packs.
It's because it's a money-printing machine.
It's a money-printing machine that they put the time into to create even more substantial
add-ons.
See,
I love going on there sometimes.
I go on there occasionally just to check out the new stuff.
Everybody that I play with on PC has that game.
Everyone and their grandmother has that game.
Pretty much. Well, it's like the best-selling game of all time.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing. You know, it's like, one of the greatest to ever do it.
And it's just fun every time. Like, the same thing with Battlegrounds. It's fun every time, but for different reasons, right?
Are you excited for Red Dead Online? Not a thing, but
it's definitely going to be.
You think it's going to be a thing?
Given Grand Theft Auto Online and the amount of fuck ton of goddamn money they made,
I feel like Grand Theft Auto Online was easier to do simply because the actual time frame of game presence where you are in GTA and how you play Grand Theft Auto is easier to transfer over to an online, somewhat MMO based community.
Think about this: the amount of stuff they have to put in for a modern game, like for a modern setting, Wild West. Open deserts, baby, some castles, maybe some robberies.
All I'm saying is I'm just afraid that they're going to make this Red Dead Online, and I ain't going to get my Undead Nightmare 2.
That would suck. Man, I would kill for Undead Nightmare 2.
Because Undead Nightmare 1 is arguably, in my opinion, the greatest DLC to ever come out for any game ever. Because, like, it was so good. I didn't even buy it as, I bought that before I bought Red Dead.
Really?
Yeah, because I couldn't get Red Dead because my dad was like, it was M, and at the time we were
like, that's the time where we were like, trying to find ways. Like, I remember I bought As soon as I got my debit card, I bought Grand Theft Auto 4 on my Xbox online so I could play it.
I took my mom to GameStop. That was my trick. My mom didn't know Grand Theft Auto was terrible.
What's this?
What's this? What's
a federal conviction crime that my mom titled it as a game? Let's give it to my
The GameStop kid. Guy was like, there's blood, sex, nudity, gore, violence, all this stuff. And she just looked at me and I was like, Nico, my cousin.
Bowling.
And I got the game.
End of story.
End of story.
Here I am today.
But I Red Dead. I played Undead Nightmare before I played the first one.
Yeah.
And like I was just so fucking amazed by it. I then immediately bought Red Dead.
Yeah.
And actually, no, I borrowed it from my friend Ryan Muhoiter at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I had to give it back to him. And then for one of my birthday that year, or a few years later, a friend of mine bought me the Game of the Year edition. And I just replayed both of them. Yeah. It was just so incredible.
Yeah. I'm actually in the middle of replaying Red Dead right now.
It still looks great.
It does, yeah. And when you play it on the backwards compatible version on the Xbox One, it actually runs better too, which is
awesome.
Yeah.
I know not all of them do that, but when you can do that, mm-hmm. it's definitely – like yeah. I know a lot of the Microsoft exclusive games like – Viva Pinata, I feel, runs better on... I know that's funny to say, but...
Yeah.
I feel like all those Microsoft-exclusive titles do better. What's heads in the next category?
Yeah, but like if I had to give it to something in this category, I'd either go with...
I feel it's going to be Overwatch or PlayerUnknown.
Yeah.
Because PlayerUnknown just keeps getting closer and closer to that.
But even like Siege and Online...
Yeah, Siege and Online could come in.
It's a hard... I'm interested to see while that...
Best mobile game? I'm going to be honest to you. You play mobile games...
I played Monument Valley 1. I played Fire Emblems. I played
Fire Emblems 2. I played
Monument Valley 2. If I had to give it to anyone, it'd be Monument Valley 2.
Is it longer than Monument Valley 1? Okay. Then, I'll give it to it.
And
that was my only...
I think Super Mario Run, $10, but still, I didn't feel like it was a complete... Like, it's one and done for $10, but that's expensive for a mobile game,
super expensive for a mobile game.
But it didn't even feel like, that impressive.
No, it doesn't.
No. All right, best handheld game. Which is I'm surprised how this is going to evolve given the Switch, because there's no Switch games on here.
I don't know if the Switch is an odd one because it's the home console meets the handheld.
Yeah,
I think it seems like it's being counted as a home console.
Yeah,
I feel you just have to choose one and just leave that.
Especially for rewards. But if I had to give it anything, I'm going to give it to Metroid: Samus Returns.
Monster Hunter Stories was definitely strong. Fire Emblem Echoes. I feel Samus Returns would probably win this.
Because it was a really good remake. It was a really good...
Oh, yeah. It was very,
very
strong.
People very... Best AR-VR game. This is a category I actually have some experience
in. I'm going to be honest with you. If Super Hot and VR don't win this I'm going to buy it.
Lone Echo, on the other hand, phenomenal experience.
Oh, Lone Echo. Even the Star Trek Bridge Crew thing is cool.
Yeah, all three. Like,
all these games.
Even Resident Evil 7.
Farpoint as well, but Super Hot.
I think Farpoint was okay. Like, I watched gameplay and stuff like that.
I never played for it. I watched gameplay. I was impressed.
I heard the story was... Oh, it was impressive, but I think the story, was all right. But, the...
Super hot.
Yeah, it's I'm saying, playing that... Because I got to play, because I remember... I bought the Oculus and then I returned it.
Yes, I do remember that as well. You've bought two fucking VR headsets. Yeah. Like, money wasted, money regained.
Exactly. It just goes right back to my account. Thanks, Amazon. But the... Yeah, Super Hot VR in Star Trek, just I think about Super Hot VR, shoot a guy, throw the gun in another guy's face, bounces off, I teleport some runs, I grab that gun and shoot him in the back of the head. Like, it just feels so fucking cool.
When I definitely saw it in action, my general vibe was this is the best way to play Super Hot.
Yeah, definitely, and then you look at Star Trek Bridge Crew, it's just fucking hilarious watching people play that
game. It is, it is. But it's cool that Ubisoft would make such a thing.
You wouldn't expect them.
Because that's something – they could have made a new Star Trek game. They could have focused on something else. They really went whole hog in trying to make this
which is really
VR
cool. Yeah.
Star Trek thing.
But I think it's super hot for you.
Super hot. What's next? Best action game?
Prey, Neo, Destiny 2, Cuphead, and Wolfenstein 2.
I feel like this is an easy pick for Wolfenstein 2 or Cuphead, but I feel like easier pick is Wolfenstein 2.
Well, if you know anything about me, I'm a very big fan of Arkane Studios. Given Dishonored 2 and Prey. I played Prey. It was had problems. It was fucking,
so I've heard.
It was really good, I thought. Because I'm a very big fan of the immersive sim. Like, right now I'm playing all the way back through Hitman. Because, there's also a new DLC just came out.
Campaign. I'm actually playing it.
Yeah. I like having a lot of... Do whatever the fuck you want to accomplish your task.
Yeah, that is... They definitely made this very... True style way to make Prey.
Yeah.
Like, Because the original Prey definitely was like Half-Life in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
that's how I was. Because like I haven't played the new Prey, mm-hmm. but I feel like I'm one of the few people who played the original Prey.
yeah, I played it on PC
and,
a long time.
And I enjoyed Prey, but yeah. I played it and I was like, that was very Half-Life 2, and yeah. I was enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely.
But it felt... The new Prey, definitely I like how it has
it was more
play
Bioshock-y.
Style to it. Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It felt like a much more modern kind of action-based first-person shooter story kind of driven, narrative-driven game.
Yeah.
With that, all that said, though.
But also, like, I look at Neo also, which is like a dark, it's a dark, do you know what Neo is?
I really don't.
It's kind of like a Dark Souls-like, but it's feudal Japan.
Oh, okay, nice.
It's really cool, and I know a lot of people that really fucking love that game. But for me, personally, through this category of best action game, I'm going to give it to Wolfenstein 2, because that game is just, like, blew it out of the water for me.
I agree. Cuphead's awesome.
Cuphead's also very...
Like, there's a lot of strong titles in this.
Yeah, absolutely. But I still don't know why Destiny 2's in here.
Action. I just feel like they're... Yeah. I feel like this whole Game of the Year Awards is going to be us being like... They just gave them nominations, I feel like. Best action... Are these it? Those these three games?
Best action adventure game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a hard category. We got
whenever
Uncharted
Zelda,
Lost Legacy.
Whenever Zelda and Mario... It's, first off,
we got the new Uncharted Lost Legacy, Assassin's Creed Origins, Breath of the Wild.
No offense to Lost Legacy, and no offense to Assassins, but... I feel like, just kind of given that Zelda, Odyssey, and Dawn have the Game of the Year nominations, it's pretty clear they're not going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, I feel like this is a very good indicator on who might win Game of the Year.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual action adventure, I feel like Breath of the Wild. Because no offense to Mario, Mario's a platformer.
I feel like they just don't have a best platformer.
I just feel like they did.
I would agree with you there. Yeah, I'd probably have to give it to The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. Yeah, I think that's
best role playing game.
See, that's what I'm saying. Final Fantasy 15 on here, but it came in 2016.
I know you're just gonna be like, Divinity 2 is the greatest game of all time.
Listen,
period,
Tom.
Ever. But I'm about to drop some hot shit on you about a little game called Persona 5. Persona 5 is gonna win this hands down.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did. To
15
be honest, I really
is might. A great game. I heard Fractured Butthole is awesome. Haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
Nier Automata, we've talked about. Yeah. I feel already on this podcast. I feel like it does come down to Divinity and Persona, and I'm rather confident Persona's going to win this.
But
Divinity and Persona are very similar.
Like, yeah. Well,
because, in terms of the fact they create these worlds, and then it's like, hey, there's so much to do, and you don't have to touch a second of it. You can just go play this fucking main story.
But the thing is, like, with Divinity 2, it's
they,
a
I'm
CRPG.
Saying they do the RPG part well.
It's the classic RPG.
Yeah.
You don't fucking know anything you're supposed to do, and there's so much writing and dialogue and just variation and everything you can do. Just the sense of accomplishment I got from doing even the simplest of tasks, just because I had to find out what the hell I had to do myself, is enormous. Like, I
played the first Original Sin. I have about, like, 15 hours in it.
Yeah.
And I definitely enjoyed it a lot, but it was hard for me to go back and want to play it for hours on end, because
it's a lot of dedication.
Yeah. And I play a lot of RPGs, that. It's probably my favorite type of game to really play. And I had other ones to play, and I would choose other ones. Like, I would choose to play, like, to go back and play the Fallout 4 DLCs.
Well, yeah, because it's a lot easier just to get back into.
It is. Because those
really have to, you have to change your entire mindset when you play something like Divinity.
Yeah, I feel like the same way with the JRPGs, though, too. You have to, like, just be on board with putting the hours in.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. But I think this is, if I had to give it to anything in this category, I would give it to Divinity. And I know you'd give it to Personas, but, like...
Yeah, I do feel Persona's going to win, given its Game of the Year nomination.
I agree.
I'm happy to see it get a Game of the
Year. Yeah, me too.
Fighting games. Ooh, who's it gonna be?
I heard Tekken 7 was really fucking cool.
I heard Tekken 7 was hot. I heard Nidhogg 2 was
hot. Nidhogg 2 was fucking...
I heard Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was good. I heard Injustice 2 was good. And I heard ARMS is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
With all this said, I think it's between Tekken 7, Nidhogg 2, and Injustice 2.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it to Nidhogg, because I don't know... Were you there when everyone was over at my apartment? So everyone was over at my apartment. It was always Aaron's friends. So everyone was over there, and we were all playing Nidhogg 2. Just taught like bracket style, and it was so fucking like fun, like the amount of tension it has, and just everyone screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you get that with any of these other games. Because people, it's a lot more harder to understand the other games. Nighthawk 2 is just so
cut and
dry.
I'm going to be honest with you. I play a lot of fighting games too as well. And especially, the only reason I haven't played a lot of these titles is this year has been put a kite on me with cash. I haven't been buying video games as much as I normally would.
Yeah.
I feel fighting games do a great job, especially when we play with other people, of getting a real competitive
aura
out of people. I've seen it happen with Tekken. I've seen it happen with with Injustice. I've seen it happen with a lot of titles. With all that in mind, I would honestly have to say I can't pick. I really can't pick one because I just don't have enough experience with any of the titles.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
It is hard. It is hard. What is this? What Nintendo?
Best family Nintendo? I know. Yeah, Nintendo.
Best family game. Splatoon 2 is not a family game.
Yeah,
it's a
kill people.
You kill people with paint in a competitive shooter. Competitive shooters are not family games. Sonic Mania is not a family game. It's a one person platformer. Sonic, you can't be fucking shitting me.
Fucking the keep only Sonic away from children. That's all I'm going to say.
This game should. This category should be called like best e game. Period.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual family games, Mario Kart 8 is like the only one.
Yeah, like Super Mario Odyssey, you kind of just watch.
It's a single
but if you're
going to
play with family,
game,
like
you can. Like, I played Mario games with my sisters. They watch, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
but it's not like a shared experience.
If you want the family to participate, it's going to be Mario Kart, dude.
It's going to be Mario Kart. Or it's going to be competitive.
If you want to fucking smack your kids and show them who's boss, you play Mario Kart.
So with that in mind, I feel Odyssey is going to win this. But I do have to say, in actual family games, Mario Kart is the only one nominated.
Yeah.
Best strategy game. Let's get into this because this is a hot fucking category. Yeah. It's either got to be War of the Chosen for me or it's got to be Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And I know that's crazy.
I think Total War Warhammer 2 is a strong contender in this category.
I totally agree. I will admit, once again, have not played Total War Warhammer 2.
Game,
I did watch someone play Tooth and Trial. Tooth and Trial is a lot of fun.
It does look really cool.
What the last one?
That's Halo Wars 2.
Oh, Halo Wars 2, yeah. I've seen my good boy Josh plays a lot of Halo Wars 2. I think this is a really good category in terms of what they actually went with nominations-wise. I do feel War of the Chosen.
I was going to say that, too. I would go with War of the Chosen.
Once again, Firaxis is one of those companies. It's similar to Rockstar. It's just when they do a DLC or an expansion, they just fucking they go for the fucking 10 out of 10.
Yeah. All right. Best sports and racing game / racing game.
What are my options?
We got Project Cars 2,
Project Cars
Pro
2,
EV 2018, and NBA 2K18,
FIFA,
GT Sport.
Forza. For me, and especially knowing what I know of all these games, I know you follow racing. I definitely also follow racing, and I definitely follow, I feel, sports games more than you.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree.
This comes down for me to 2K18.
Mm-hmm.
And Forza Motorsport 7.
I'm going to go with Project Cars 2.
Interesting.
Because I'm a very... I think it does the best job of actually... Because I really like... I love arcade racing games, but I think my bread and butter is really... Like last year, Dirt Rally, that game I'm still playing and I'm still in love with.
I heard it was incredible.
Yeah,
I heard
I
it was
love,
the best dirt game ever. I think from you, though.
yeah, probably. But the... When you really create the simulation well, and it really gives you the feeling of you're participating in this race, and it's real, and that's what I felt like with Project Cars doing. They do a really good job of emulating all that. GT Sport is a good emulation, and so is Forza, but like GT is so like,
I feel
they're so highbrow. They're very
exactly. It's too. It's like, I totally agree. It's kind of like the T's. It's like, racing.
Yeah, it's like don't do things
don't,
or your rating will go down and we'll ban you from the game.
Don't remote. And those games are very punishing too, Gran Turismo. Even more than Forza, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I do have to admit 2K18 really felt like the facelift the franchise had been kind of avoiding for 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a strong title for me. But let's get into best multiplayer. Because we're talking
Fortnite, Call of Duty World War II, Splatoon 2.
How the fuck did Splatoon 2 get on here?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Destiny 2. I don't even think Destiny 2 should be on this list right here.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds better fucking win this.
Like, who doesn't, who isn't voting for Battlegrounds? That's what I want to know.
Somebody who...
Who? It's either you're voting for Battlegrounds or Fortnite because you're not good enough to play Battlegrounds.
Activision, Russian spies who have infiltrated the game industry.
Yeah. Oh shit!
This is presented by
the Mick Cafe.
Listen, when I think of most anticipated games, first thing that comes to my mind is a McDonald's iced coffee. But let's look at these titles and just admit, Sony is so
fucking set. That's why. I was like, maybe I'll get an Xbox One X, or maybe I'll get a.
Let's just
PS4
say this
Pro.
Right now.
This is why I'm getting a PS4
let's
Pro.
Let's just say this right now. I can't pick a game here. If I can tell you right now,
I mean I think I can.
I can tell you right now. I can I can tell you which games I'm dumb pumped for.
Yeah.
Last of Us Part 2. Red Dead Redemption 2. Monster Hunter World.
All these games you're everybody's.
Honestly, yeah. These are all games from franchises. Damn. These are all games from franchises. I love that.
It's such a tie between Last of Us Part 2 and Red Dead 2 for me. Because Red Dead's my favorite Rockstar game.
The problem is, like, it's like I want to see Red Dead 2.
Yeah, me too.
But then, like, I look at Monster Hunter World and I'm like, that could be incredible. And then I look at God of War and I'm like, that could be incredible.
Look at Spider-Man. And Sony's putting so much behind it. And you, especially.
I was going to say, it's tough for me as someone who has probably played every Spider-Man game to come out since the PS2. And I've been through a lot of shit.
To put it lightly.
To finally see a game that doesn't even look good but looks fucking sensational and it's made by a developer. I actually have nothing but a huge admiration for an Insomniac. It's that's why I just can't pick one. Yeah. But I think all five are going to be tremendous. Yeah. So I think we're set for especially early next year. Right. Best independent game.
We got Pyre, Night in the Woods, Cuphead, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Hellblade.
This is really tough,
but I think it's going to go either to Hellblade or Cuphead.
I think Night in the Woods could pull this off.
I do too.
But I don't think you're wrong. Too. I don't think you're wrong about it being Hellblade or Cuphead. Yeah. And even Edith Finch, like I said, Edith Finch is one of the games on here I've played, but I especially comparing it to Cuphead and Hellblade, I don't know if it's going to be able to top that.
Yeah, I think
these are independent games. Yeah, you have to look at the feat of what they've accomplished too.
That's what I'm thinking about. What was
the next category?
Best student game.
That's an interesting. Look at the.
But the thing is, I don't know any of these.
Look at the. Yeah, I don't know any of these games either. What's the awarded the best? The best student project created at a high school or college level.
Which is really cool. I think it's a really cool category to have.
For our next episode on either Monday or Tuesday, let's play some of these.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these even cost. I think some of them cost money.
Very low amounts of money.
Yeah, very low. Let's try to give a few of these a try.
Yeah.
Trending Gamer.
We got Steve Sofen, which is, like, right off the bat, I'm going to say he's probably going to get my vote because he's a part of a company called Able Gamers.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, and he does phenomenal work making sure people phenomenal. With disabilities can play games. And it's phenomenal. And, I mean, it's also Guy Beam, also known as Dr. Disrespect on Twitch. He's hilarious, and he's an awesome guy, and he's very good influencer. And then we have Clint Lexa, and also and Andrea Renee, which is she's on What's Good Games. She's also on what's it called? Kind of Funny a lot, and so I hear a lot of.
I think Steven Sofen deserves this.
Yeah,
simply.
I totally agree. He's my number one.
It's
vote
not that I want to. I'm not trying to like undersell the accomplishments of the other four,
or nominees. even trying to overplay just because.
Yeah, but
the things that he's doing are amazing.
It's incredible.
And in the position he's amazing.
He's giving people a chance,
to do what they really want to do, regardless of what their disability.
Yeah, really be able to play these games.
Really is amazing. Yeah. Best esports game. We got
Rocket League, League of Legends, Dota 2, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, and Overwatch. Okay. I love this one because I feel like we're going to be having the same nominees the next
year. For the next 20 years, I think because it's like all of them are so
I'm gonna be straight with you. If I have to guess one of these games is going to win, I'm gonna guess Overwatch.
It's going to be Overwatch or Counter-Strike, I think.
Rocket League could
but
do
like,
something.
But you think about League of Legends.
I don't think Counter Strike's going to win.
Really?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, first off, it's not even the best version of Counter Strike. You think Global Offensive is the best one?
Right now, yeah. People die by 1.6.
I'm not saying it isn't great.
Yeah.
But especially compared to like the original.
You're right. Yeah, I can definitely see that. But like, I think
not the original,
Dota 2 and
I mean,
League of Legends definitely have just as much potential to win as Overwatch.
Oh, yeah.
Because think about the money pools that are in those games for the championships.
That's where my mind is. It could be Dota 2. It could be League of Legends.
Yeah.
Who do you think? What do you think is the better one out of the two?
I've always
applauded Dota 2 because it seems like the more intense strategic one. But I also applaud League of Legends for its ability to actually be very intuitive and very easy to pick up for anyone.
Exactly. Yeah.
So with that in mind, it's tough. I don't think we should sleep on Rocket League either.
No. I still play Rocket League. I still play Overwatch.
The official sponsor of WWE.
Are you serious?
No bullshit. There are a shit ton of ads, and I'm going to have to go through all of them during Survivor Series.
No. We got best esports player.
Esports player.
I don't know esports player. I only know one, and that's Marcelo David.
I do like how there's a Dota 2, there's an Overwatch, there's a League of Legends. Counter-Strike got two people.
Yeah.
What's up? Maybe Counter-Strike 2 doesn't win best.
I'm saying, like, it's still – it's dude, I gamble on – I told you this, remember?
We're in New York State. You know that's illegal.
How do you know we're in New York State? How do they know we're in New York State? You don't know that?
We'll talk about Buffalo one of these days. Best esports teams.
I mean, I don't
– that's the thing. I know Team Liquid.
That's it. So, hey, Team Liquid, good for you guys.
Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Best debut indie. Okay, these are awesome. I loved it. I remember seeing this category. First off, from Hollow Knight to Cuphead to Slam Rancher to Mr. Shifty to Golf Story, those are all awesome titles. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, I'm familiar with all of them, and I was just like, for me, this would have been the best indie.
Yeah.
Just simply because I played a lot of these.
I think
Slam Rancher's hella great.
But it's very shallow. That's the thing. But you think about up against Cuphead?
Hollow Knight's phenomenal.
I hear that, yeah.
It's Golf Story is actually a fucking blast. Yeah. And Mr. Shifty is tons of fun. Yeah. I do think Cuphead will win this. Absolutely. I do agree.
I do think too. Best Chinese game. I mean, I don't know any of these.
You do know Monument Valley, too.
I do like Monument Valley, too. Gumballs, I like that name, but the weird dinosaur.
Wait, scroll down. Is that... What's...
I have no idea what that is.
King of Glory. For a moment, I was like, "League of Legends."
Like League. You look like League.
I don't think I have to say
Monument because I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick one either simply because I'm not familiar enough. That's it. I'm afraid I don't think we got time to get into Battlefront 2. But
we can do that another time. Because like, there's still more information. I don't know yet. They're going to wait like a day or two.
Wait a day or two, and we'll see how the initial storm kind of plays out.
Because the one thing I will say is they made last night, which is Thursday night, November 16th, literally the night before the official release, they removed all forms
of... Yeah, we were talking about this. Yeah,
before the podcast, but removed all forms of...
currency,
you know, currency, like actual money you can spend.
They got rid of it entirely,
which is insane. It immediately
reminded me of the initial Xbox One fiasco.
Oh yeah,
where they were like, no more disc, no more used games.
Oh shit,
we're just going to do a crazy family sharing plan, which actually was pretty amazing.
Yeah, for the time.
Like, if you and I were in like a family, we'd just split all of our games, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
but
people are very...
I think people were abrasive to it, and I totally get it.
Which is fine, because it was very quick change.
It was quick change.
It was too quick, because like now it's all going digital and everything like that. Exactly. So they were way ahead of what they wanted to do.
And so my whole mentality about it was... I just maybe thought about that when like 2 weeks after E3, or maybe even like right before E3, I can't remember when it was. I think it was right before E3. They were like, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. We actually want to sell some copies. Yeah. Like, it was just, it's bad PR. It's so bad. And, like, you're really going to lose a lot of the people who were willing. You lost the people you disappointed in the first game who wanted to believe in the second one.
Yeah.
And that's who you really lost. And you'd be surprised how big that is. Because I feel like there were a lot of people disappointed by that first game.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, yeah.
With that said, I feel like our watch has ended.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, coming to the end of this first podcast, if anyone's listening, we appreciate you listening, obviously.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Thanks, you. First episode, too. Appreciate you sticking around with us.
I'm Noah Moyer.
I'm Tom Zavante.
And thank you for listening to the first iteration of The Watchtower. We'll catch you guys next time.
See you next week.